The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We're going to talk about rent pressure zones now, as you would have heard in the news headlines there and heard right across the day. The government are rolling them out nationwide, and there are some changes as to what exactly rate of increase will apply given the time, I guess, or the completion date of new properties when they come into the market. We'll get into all of that in just a moment, but as you would well imagine, things kicked off in leaders' questions. Here is the Taoiseach Micheál Martin and Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald clashing over the new regulations.
You've certainly outdone yourself this time. You create a new opportunity for tens of thousands of landlords to jack up their rents.
You have no ideas. You have no solutions. That's your problem. You don't accept there's any role for the market at all. And I stress again, the caps are retained.
So that was just a little part of that exchange between Taoiseach Micheál Martin and Sinn Féin President Mary Lou MacDonald a little bit earlier today. Danny McConnell is with me, the editor of the Business Post. Danny, we were talking about this in the show actually just about this time yesterday, and what we thought was coming is not what came ultimately. So what did we get today?
So what we basically have is a two-tier system. What we have is essentially, if you're in an existing tenancy, you are protected up to 2%. So essentially there's a cap and those caps will continue. If you're in a new build, anywhere in the country, not like so. Since the idea of having a rent pressure zone in Dublin or in Galway or Limerick is now essentially the whole country will be essentially a rent pressure zone. If you're an existing tenant, if you're in a new build, your rents can be set at market rates. And the purpose the government say of doing this is to incentivize the building of apartments, because if you looked at the housing completions of in 2024, the big fall off was in the number of completion of apartments. The big difficulty is the apartments that are being built and put on the market, the state housing bodies are snapping them up wholesale. So literally, yeah, there's one, I live in Drumconnor, there's a number of big apartment blocks that have gone up. Virtually all of them have been snapped up. So not one single apartment will go on the market to private buyers. They're literally been snapped up by Clwyd and other housing bodies. From a renter's perspective, what the government is saying is, this no-fault evictions will be ended under this regime. There's enhanced protections for renters. The opposition aren't buying that at all. They just see this as a kind of a charter. This is, the developers have got everything that they wanted, and they'll be able to hijack rents all over the place. My read of it is it's a complex situation. The government's intervention in these things tend not to be very nuanced. Or they tend to be quite blunt. I wasn't a big fan of the rent pressure zones. I thought they were a populist move to brought into trying to assuage kind of, concerns from the opposition rather than being grounded in kind of common sense or good practical policy. I think this is a further muddying of the waters. But the government had to do something. They have to do something to stimulate the market, and only time will tell. One of the big questions that James Brown was facing at lunchtime today was, well, what happens to the landlords who don't adhere to the rules? And there was talk of fines, but that element is ill-defined. It's not clear as to how.
But the criticism from opposition that this is, the landlord's charter, they've got what they wanted. Is that fair criticism, or what elements of this will quite possibly the big institutional landlords or even the mom and pops maybe be disappointed by?
The big difficulty is that, and we do a lot of this in the Business Post, and even since our story on this on Friday went up on Friday night, we've had a lot of people, the developers are saying it's not viable to build apartments. Even though prices are very expensive, they just don't think there's enough wiggle room, enough profit margin for them to commit to building a 40, 50, 60 apartment building. So the government is saying it's on the horns of a dilemma. How do you incentivize developers to use the land that they have zoned, and they've bought, it's ready to go, and how do you incentivize them? So what they're saying is that this allows them to, for market rates to apply in certain areas in terms of new builds, to incentivize them to get into the market. It may not be perfect, it's a bit of a blunt instrument, but they're hoping that that'll be sufficient incentive for them to get in. And ultimately, the longer term goal is more supply will moderate rents, but that's not today, tomorrow or next week. That's a much longer play.
So Kate English is with us as well, as the chief economist with Deloitte. Kate, if we accept it, that is the goal of this is to increase supply ultimately, is this a measure, do you suspect, that will achieve that goal?
Yeah, I think with any policy measure that's brought in, the litmus test I apply is, does this either hinder or reduce supply, or does it increase supply? And I think this policy is certainly a step in the right direction. It helps some of the concerns that were there from an investor perspective of how do we make this viable. But on its own, it probably won't deliver huge volumes of supply. I think what's critical here is this was the first important step. What we need to see now, and it's been muted or put forward by government, that there would be a range of other policies that would be announced in the coming weeks that would target how do they address that viability gap, particularly for apartments. And I think if we see a combination of policies then together, that's where we would see that.
And when you talk about
supply,
a combination of policies, the other policies might be ways to reduce the cost of building, is
of
it?
Of delivering, particularly for apartments, because if we are to get to a delivery of moving from about 30,000 homes per year, which we're doing at the minute, to 50 or 60,000 homes per year, apartments have to play a role in that. They can deliver large density and at volume, but they require a lot of capital to do that. They're a very capital intensive delivery. And they're very expensive to do so. There's not very many people who can deliver them at scale. And that's where the role of that institutional or your international investor comes into the market. Those policies that are being put forward, there may be looking at, and we've to see the details of this, VAT reductions potentially, but solely for the delivery of apartments. I think with any new policies that come out, it's important as well that they are targeted and that they are time bound, because that is the element that helps. All of this is back to how do we stimulate supply and stimulate it fast. If you make them targeted on a specific tenure type or a specific apartment or unit type, and they are bound by a certain time, it will help speed up that delivery.
You know, we often talk about, in the context of Trump and tariffs and everything else, the degree to which businesses hate uncertainty. And you talk there about other policy measures being needed. I mean, how important is it that those decisions are made quickly if we're going to change other policies? If I was a big institutional investor or representing them today, I'd be thinking, I mean, this is good, but I might just hold off for a moment, because if they're going to make things cheaper in 6 or 12 months' time, it makes sense to wait 6 or 12 months.
Certainty is key here. And even in the last few days, even with the announcement made today, the press release that was released as well, there still is a level of unknown and uncertainty with what was announced today. And if you were an investor, you'd be looking to see, well, what comes out as they really hash out legislation between now and March of next year, when all this comes into play. You're also looking at that if a policy is introduced, that it stays, that we're not looking at an introduction of a certain rental increase applied today that is changed in 6 months' time, because it's very difficult to make long-term plans there. But as you rightly said, it's the connection of the policy announced today is a step in the right direction. More is needed, and needed fast on top of it, in order to make key decisions.
We've often talked to Conor Skehan on this show, Danny, and it's an argument he keeps making, just stop tinkering, just leave things as they are. But I guess this brings us back to the politics of it. It's a political dilemma, isn't it, to kind of stand back when homeless numbers are rising, housing kind of is not hitting those targets, and housing for all, rent continues to increase, house prices continue to increase, all the metrics really kind of going in the wrong direction, as it were, and not to tinker, even just from a political point of view, to be seen to be doing something.
Yeah, and the difficulty I think every government since the austerity Fine Gael Labour government have had is, you know, Michael Noonan, the then finance minister, had to introduce measures to try and stimulate the market from literally no activity. And he brought in, you know, controversial tax breaks for institutional developers at that time. They were demonised by the opposition, and ultimately led to a closing off of those kind of tax breaks for them. And what we hear in kind of, like, I do a lot of sort of meetings with business leaders, and they say all the time, why would we come to Ireland when you've a rabid political opposition, an uncertain political landscape, and we're demonised all over the place? And, you know, these institutional investors are the norm in most European and developed countries. They're looking, they run pension funds, they're looking for stable returns on their investment. And what they see is a very unstable political environment in Ireland. That, I think, has hampered, you know, that sort of level of investment. If the government are, if this is their intervention, I can't see them being able, with any sort of credibility, coming back to this issue in 12, 18 months' time. They have to let this settle and let this kind of bed in and give that certainty to the market. Because otherwise, then you will have that flight of capital out at an institutional level. And this, the system won't we won't grow to the level we need to grow without that level of institutional investment. Like the mom and pop landlords won't cut it. Like, you know, yeah. we need that sort of scale.
Because Kate, there will be those, particularly in opposition parties, who are ideologically opposed to some of these institutional investors. But when you kind of do the maths, there's no way of hitting those targets without them.
Without
is there?
Them.
I mean, you can argue about the degree to which you rely on them, but if we need 25 odd billion quid every year to be spent building houses, the state doesn't have that.
No, of which, and it was very clear by the Department of Finance report last year that the majority of capital had to come from the private market. If we were to deliver 50,000 homes per year, over 20 billion was needed annually to deliver that, and over 16 of it needed to come from private sources. So they are critical. We need new supply across all tenure types. That involves both your public sector and your private sector as well. But I think it comes back to today. Today was a difficult decision by government to make, but unfortunately, doing nothing was not an option. If they did nothing, if we continued with RPZs as they were, we were going to be in a worse position in 12 months' time than we are now. And that does not help renters. The positive is, if you are a renter listening today, nothing changes for you today or tomorrow. You're still, if you're renting today, you're still tied to the 2% cap. If you were to rent a new build in 2 years' time, it will start at market rent, but it's tied to inflation. And I think a key part that was missing from all the debate over the last 2 days is where that inflation figure is at the moment. It is at 2%.
Yeah.
It is forecasted to remain at 2% for the next 3 years. So from a tenant perspective, if people are worried listening to this debate over the last 2 years, you do not see a fundamental change, and there are more policies being put in place to try and protect. But the most important part is we're not just trying to protect the tenant of today, but delivering that new supply helps your tenant of tomorrow. And without that private capital, international capital in the market, you will not deliver those units to help those tenants of tomorrow.
It's a nervy 12 months then ahead, Danny, for James Brown and others in government, because, I mean, if the decision they made today, their hope, as we said right at the outset, is that this will lead to an increase in that international investment and those funds coming in and activating some of the kind of planning permissions they have, or building on some of the land that they own that has been zoned. If that doesn't happen, I mean,
yeah,
where to for the government and housing for all? Yeah,
and this is why you take a decision like this in year one of a government and not year four heading into an election, because you have, this is the space. This is the 18 months to 2 years the government actually has space to start bedding in difficult, unpopular policies. And the hope is that come the time of the next election, you will begin to see progress. I think to Kate's point, like, the government could not do nothing. It couldn't sit on its hands. But I think, you know, and, you know, the fundamental from a purely political perspective, you're looking to the next general election in 2029. Like, Fine Gael are in government since 2011, and this decline in the state of the housing market has happened on its watch. Fianna Fáil are now in government since 2016, with confidence in supply, yeah. 2020. It's on their watch that this is happening as well. So they literally have, this is their chance to basically have a narrative to tell come the next general election. So that's why they're taking these big measures now. I agree with Kate. This is one factor of a number of factors that need to happen. But ultimately, like, it's 11 years ago since Alan Kelly, the then housing minister, declared an emergency. And ultimately, supply has increased, but not sufficiently enough. And, you know, to the point that you were saying 20 plus billion needed in capital, like the Taoiseach made the point in the Dáil's way, the state's spending 7 and 8 billion. We're still way off the level of investment needed to get us to where we need to get to. And there needs to be a massive sea change in that.
Kate, to what extent might the government be kind of hostages to, you know, the global economic wins? You know, like the example Danny gave of the Canadian pension fund. I mean, they're agnostic as to how many houses are built in Ireland in a given year. They just want a return on their investment. And if we're kind of entering into this period of turmoil, and we will be talking about Trump later, because at some point every day on the show we talk about Donald Trump and his tariffs. I mean, are there just kind of safer marks when it comes to investing than the Irish property market?
Well, I think if we can get stable policy, the Irish property market is a place that institutional capital will look at. And why? Well, there's many factors behind that. We have really positive demographic indicators. We do have a resilient economy that is upholding, despite all the external macroeconomic risks that are there. But I also think you've kind of brought up a bigger issue in terms of there's an awful lot of what's happening externally that we cannot control. The dust will settle eventually on global trade policy and the unknowns that are there. And in order for Ireland as an economy at large to be competitive as we leave that uncertain time period, we need to ensure that we are addressing our infrastructure gaps, double down on what we can control. And housing is just one part of that. And unfortunately, it's been acknowledged we cannot fund all 60,000 homes per year on state funds, nor would it be wise to do so when there is a risk over corporation tax in the future. It means we need to attract international capital and you need to incentivize it, create stability so that they're here then for the long term. We don't want investors that come and go in 2 years. We want a stable, long-term private rental market.
Kate English is the chief economist with Deloitte. Daniel McConnell, editor of the Business Post. Thank you both very, very much. That voice you can hear is Pat Davitt, the chief executive of the Institute of Professional Auctioneers and Valuers, IPAV. Pat, I'm going to ask you now to try and make sense of these new rent rules for me. So rent pressure zones, now the entire country is a rent pressure zone. People will understand that, okay? So that's relatively straightforward. That means that people who are renting anywhere in the country are now going to be covered by the rent pressure zone kind of rules that did apply to most of the country anyway, it has to be said at this point, which means that what? Their rent can only be increased by
2%, Kieran. Good evening. 2%. So the actual, the going away, I suppose, of the outside the rent pressure controls and the internal rent pressure controls, I think is an advantage for starters. It's certainly an advantage to agents because agents have these rules and regulations where a property was outside of an RPZ and there was different rules out there. You could increase a property rent per 2 years, but a lot of agents didn't know whether it was 2 years on tenancy or 2 years with the property. It was causing all sorts of troubles. So at least now the country is in the rent pressure zones. And actually, I have asked for this when the rent pressure zones came in first in 2016. So that now the whole country, rents can be increased by 2%. And it's important to note that the harmonised HC or HICP is gone. The harmonised index is gone. And now it's the CPO, which is the cost of the index.
So the consumer price, the consumer price kind of index rate of inflation is what applies. So for new builds, up until today, somebody building an apartment, because that's what this is all about, really, from the government's point of view, trying to encourage more people to actually build apartments in this country. What would happen when you built new apartments? What could you set the rent at? Could you set it at market rates up until now?
You could set it at market rate, but the market rate was defined as the market rate you could get for that apartment. Right. And there were actually, you would have to come up with comparables for it. My understanding now is for new apartments, you can set the rate at really what rent you can get for the apartment and you have to keep it and hold it for 6 years before you can reset it again. So that it's slightly different in the event that you can actually set it at market rent or above market rent, whatever the case may be. You will get the 2%, which is the CPO 2%, and you can reset it after 6 years. So okay. it is pretty important for investors that are coming into the market and building new properties that you can actually, that you're not tied in forever and so, that you can change
the rent. So at the moment, the change then is, so somebody who kind of built an apartment last week, as it were, let's imagine you can kind of build them overnight.
Yeah.
They built it last week. The rent that you kind of seek has to kind of relate to the rent of similar kind of apartments in the area.
Or, that's correct.
Which limits you to a degree. And then once you set it, then bang, the rent controls apply. 2% per annum forever.
2% on the HCIP and forever.
And whereas now you get whatever you can for it. And then as soon as somebody takes a tenancy, then those 2% rules are
indexation
applies for 6 years
for six years.
Then you can start again.
And then you can reset it again.
Okay.
So for new builds, that's the situation for new builds. And for properties currently in the rent pressure zones, they've changed this so there's two types of landlords. So there's a landlord with one, two or three properties, which is called a small landlord. And there's a landlord with anything over four properties, which is called a big landlord. So there's different rules for the apartments that people have or the properties that people have as a small landlord. And the larger ones. So if you have four, unfortunately, you're called a big landlord or a large landlord, as opposed to somebody with three. And I'm sure many landlords will find a way to get around about that by swapping properties and different things. But that's up to them, you know, as to where they go. But for a small landlord, for instance, which was never the case, now if a tenant leaves a property of their own volition, you can actually reset the rent again. But if they don't leave the property, you're stuck. It's you can't do anything about it. So if you had a tenant in your property from 2016 and they continue on until 2036, you still can't change the property, the value or the rent on the property only by 2%. But after the 1st of March, when you do a new tenancy after the 1st of March, again, when they renew on a 6 month and a 6 yearly basis, you can again reset the rent.
So the 1st of March 2032, kind of 6 years
you can,
after.
You can reset
your rent with the tenant in situ.
With the tenant in situ, with the same tenant in situ, if you so want. Now, obviously, there are going to be different ways that landlords can still break the tenancies in the event if they want to give their apartment to, and it's tighter, slightly tighter now that it's going to be mother and father, brother and sister, or yourself.
Yeah.
So, like, there's going to be different things that, if that's the case, or for hardship rules and things like that, like banks are taking the properties, etc. But other than that, that tenant that has, and this is unfortunate from, I think, most landlords' point of view that have properties rented from maybe 2016 or 18 and way below market rent, they have to sit in those apartments until such time as the tenant decides to leave.
So you've got, I guess, competing interests here. Tenants who are in situ might be relieved then today that kind of RPZs haven't been scrapped. Maybe that there was a fear at one stage that they might be in their entirety. People who suspect they're going to be entering the rental market in the next few years, I mean, they might be relieved on the one hand that supply could increase, because that's ultimately the plan. They might be worried about what happens when you get to 2032 and you could experience a big hike overnight. Mm. Ultimately, that's a price the government are willing to pay in if it means increased supply. And that's what this is all about, isn't it? It's about attracting in those big institutional investors to build apartments.
Well, I think on the new side it's that, and on the side that's originally there, the private part that's there at the moment, I think it's trying to keep the landlords in the marketplace. And
and will this keep landlords in the marketplace?
Well, I think it'll keep landlords in the marketplace from the point of view, you know, if the old tenancies had a term that they could actually renew their leases, I think there would have been something in there. But you can't do everything for everybody. Mm. So I do believe that as Cardinals, tenants leave properties of their own volition, that you can actually increase the rent after 2026, which is good news for a lot of landlords. Being honest about it, but
that if the home is vacated, you're not tied to the old rent you used to charge.
You're not tied to the old rent you used to charge, providing that you didn't give a notice to quit for some reason other than somebody didn't pay the rent.
Mm.
So if you gave a notice to quit to somebody that you wanted them out of the apartment, that would be traced back by the RTB. And obviously then you won't be allowed to bring up the rent.
Yeah, because we often get texts into the show. We get texts from, you know, tenants and landlords alike. And often that's a complaint to landlords, is they say that they're kind of tied to this rent that they set kind of several years ago. And everybody has experienced this upward price inflation, including themselves, but they haven't seen it in the value of their asset.
And they still won't see it, unfortunately, until such time as that tenant leaves that property.
Yes.
So eventually, Kieran, all of these properties will all sort of wash themselves out eventually, but it's going to take many years for them to wash themselves out. These lower rents, which isn't probably a great thing for a lot of landlords. Certainly for tenants who are in those properties at the moment, it's a good thing for them because it's guaranteeing their tenure and continuing to guarantee their tenure as long as they want to stay in that property. But the minute they want to move from that property, they're going to be stuck. And if the landlord wants to sell that property, for instance, they can sell it with the tenant in it, but you're only going to get an investment value for that property on the basis of the rent that you've been charging.
Are there other measures you'd like to see the government take?
Well, we wanted them, like, obviously, I think it's good to bring the whole country into the RPSLs because it does give everybody the same sort of rules, and we don't have agents trying to figure out this rules and that rules. So I think that's going to be good. The HCIB change, I think, is very, very good. They allowing landlords to, or tenant, the landlords to bring up the rent if a tenant does leave their own volition is very, very good. And I think the only thing sort of that's in it, that could be in it from the point of view of older landlords, is that they could have had decided on a year's at that particular stage and said, look, if a tenant is there any more than 10 years, whether they're there or they're not there, you could be entitled to bring up your rent. They haven't done that. But look, they've done other things, and I think the things that they've done is well thought out. I think there is more support there for tenants. There is something for landlords in it. So overall, I think both parties should be very happy.
Despite maybe some of those shortcomings or some of those decisions you would have liked to have seen them make, is there a value in them just no longer making any decisions, just letting these bed in?
I think that there was no value in continuing the rent pressure zones as they were. I think the government have taken this by the collar and they've done something with it, and they have changed it and amended it. And I think those changes and amendments are going to be good going forward. And it looks like we're going to need rent pressure zones like into the future, because rents are crawling up and rising up and everything like that, you know. So we obviously do need some sort of controls there right now. But like, the thing about it is that while the landlord is tied for 6 years, the tenant isn't tied. So if the tenant wants to give a month's notice or a week's notice or 2 months notice because they see another property down the road, if more properties become available, they can actually move out of that property and they can take a cheaper property if they want.
Yeah.
But the landlord is tied for 6 years into the rent, which is sort of, you know, from the landlord's point of view, it's a commitment. The same commitment isn't there by tenants, and it probably doesn't need to be there either, because if they do get a cheaper property, they can obviously go and take it.
Pat, listen, thanks a million for coming in to us. Pat Davitt is the Chief Executive of the Institute of Professional Auctioneers and Valuers. 087 1400 106 is the number if you want to get in touch. And lots of people getting in touch. We should ban all foreign purchase of housing in this country until we have a handle on this, says one listener. New build rentals could charge whatever rent they wanted when they were put in the market. There's no change there. Well, I think that text message sent through before, Pat explained exactly what changes are happening. Today's move by government was cemented by a decision to stay out of, has cemented my decision rather to stay out of the market, having left it in October 2024. You would want to be deluded to invest in rental property in Ireland at the moment. Call me in 10 years and we'll see how things are going. And somebody else says, if the government invested the money themselves into building all these properties instead of paying a fortune in HAP to private landlords, it would be money well spent. The government does spend a small fortune on HAP, but it's about £500 million a year, I think. They spend about £6 billion on housing. We need about £25 billion. So, I mean, I'm not turning my nose up at £500 million, but a lot of people get kind of excited by HAP and how much is spent on HAP. It is a drop in the ocean in terms of the amount of money we need to build new homes. But thank you for the text nonetheless.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.